Let's just pray, shall we? Loving Lord and Father, we bless you that you're a God who loves us. And Lord, you've called us to declare your praises. Lord, and I ask that you will help us to do that in all sorts of ways. And I just praise you, Lord, that we can look at your word and we can, Lord, just contemplate what it says. But Lord, more than what it says, Lord, may become a reality in our experience, Lord. That we, being changed by you and by your Holy Spirit, may be living witnesses of the power of the living God at work in our world. Grant us your mercies, Father, as we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've got to part 6 of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave. 6. Wow. With one more to go, God willing. And this is from chapter 7. So we're going to listen to a reading of the section that we're going to look at. First 12 verses of chapter 7. Can you see what that says? We try to make sense of what we can see, but it can cause problems. That actually says something, but the way it's presented means it's hard to see. Let me give you the next screen, and you'll probably be able to see it now. The bottom one is what was on the first screen. The one that's lined out with the black background now is bad eyes. Yeah, but our eyes, we try to make sense of what we can see. And that's a good thing, because you have to, but it can get us into problems, as we'll see from what Jesus teaches in this passage. He says, do not judge. And you know the well-known saying, do not judge a book by its cover. You can't always tell what's on the inside from what's on the outside. Our Lord made that quite clear to the prophet Samuel. When Samuel went to anoint the next king of Israel, he looked at the seven sons of Jesse and saw that all these spanking grand lads, thought, wow, this is the one. And the Lord says, all the way through. And what happens is that Samuel has to say, have you got any more? And Jesse says, well, there's one, he's out in the field, we don't bother with him, really, that's what he's saying, isn't it, really? And he says, oh, bring him in. And the moment he walks through the door, the Lord says, he's the one, David. And God says, it's this bit, people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That's really encouraging in a way, isn't it? But Jesus is talking about us judging from what we can see on the outside. It's inevitable that we do that, but you have to be careful what you do with it, of course. So, you've seen this picture before, but it covers so many interesting facets of how people judge other people. You see, the top one says, I'm upper crust, I look down on him. And the middle one says, I'm middle class, I look up at him and down on him. And the one at the bottom says, I know my place. All of these little pictures, well, the picture there shows us the things that people go by in judging other people. Social status. You know, I'm from the hierarchy and you're from the peasants down at the bottom. That's one thing that people do. They judge people, put them into little boxes according to what their social class is. Yeah? And of course, they can do it with your accent, can't they? I mean, you wouldn't know I came from Yorkshire, would you? But you've got the idea. Yeah, they can do it. Some talk posh. I'm all for people being understood. That's not the issue, but accents are something else, yes? Mm-hmm. So they judge you on your accent, and then they judge you on your wealth, how much you look like you've got. And James says that in his letter. He says, there you are with your meeting, and somebody comes dressed to the nines, and you say, you can sit there, mate. Right? And then somebody else comes looking a bit rough, you say, you can sit on the floor. And James says, you've judged. You've made distinctions against people that aren't valid and worth anything. And then this one tells you can judge people by their height. There are the little people, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they're the tall people. And physically you can look down on a little person. But the other thing, the other side of it is, little people can be very arrogant, you know. Have you noticed that the little dogs make the most noise? They do, don't they? Yeah? Well, it's a bit like that with people sometimes. And then weight. If you're a bit too large or a bit too thin, we judge people by that. I mean, you know, the anorexics and the overweights, you know, we judge people if we're not careful. Right? And then, of course, the clothes. Are you a designer person? Because why do they wear designer clothes? Because they like them? I'm sure they do, but it's to impress other people as well, you know, and show that they're better than you are, possibly. And, of course, education. Education can be a bit of a divider between people, can't it? You know, some of, how many O-levels you got? Do we do O-levels now? I don't know if you do, but anyway, yes, or you got a degree or something like that, mm-hmm. yes. Well, people make distinctions, and there's a danger of being proud, mm-hmm. or if you're proud because you've got, and envious if you haven't, right, and you judge one another from both sides of the spectrum. Not good, not good. Do not judge, Jesus says. Mm-hmm. And here's a classic one today, with our ethnic backgrounds, you know, and it's not just black and white. I've written an example there, Hutu and Tutsi. That was ethnic backgrounds, and there was a massacre as a result of that. People dividing one another off because of some distinction that they perceive. Just to say, brothers and sisters, and I'm saying that genuinely, there biologically is only one race, the human family. Mm-hmm. Yes? I'm sorry, you're stuck with me?
Yeah.
How it is? Yes, there you are. But not just on racial issues people can make distinctions, but on where you come from. Place. And there's a classic one in John's Gospel. Some of the early disciples had found Jesus, and they went and told Nathanael, and they said to Nathanael, we found the one that Moses was talking about, we found the Messiah. And they said, who is he? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And what did Nathanael say? Nazareth? Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? He made a judgment about people from up north. Mm-hmm. He didn't like northerners, you see, that's what it was. there we are, because Galilee was north of where they were at the time, you've got the idea. Where you come from, people can make distinctions about. Again, we can be proud of where we're from, or envy others where they've come from, and we make judgments about them, that somehow they're better people or worse people because of all these externals. And it really is stupid. Do not judge, the Lord says, or you too will be judged. There's the warning. Don't put people in boxes. And we there's a danger that, as I say, we're trying to make sense of our world by what we see, but just have that little reserve saying what you see might not be quite what it's like. Yes. All that glitters is not gold, right. And all that's wrinkled is not
old.
Yeah, you got the idea. So, do not judge or you'll be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And there, Jesus is saying is, are you dish it out? Don't be surprised if it comes back in your direction. Or we have that saying, what goes round,
comes round.
Yes? He's saying, if you treat people that way, don't be surprised if that's how they treat you. That's way it is. And then he gives us some examples. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? He's really saying beware of self-deception. You think you're all right, and there you are with this enormous plank in your eye, and you can see somebody else's fault. Mm-hmm. And isn't it amazing, this is one of the sad truths about us as human beings is how easy it is to see our faults in somebody else and not see our own.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're very quick to pick up on others with the things that we do, but we don't blame ourselves about that, but they get the hammer for it. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. And Jesus says, don't try to do that with this big plank in your eye. Mm-hmm. And he says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye?
Mm-hmm.
I got this little cartoon for you. You look ridiculous with that speck in your eye. Let me get that out for you. And he's got this great chunk of wood in his, of course. Just a thought on this one. Be very aware of people who want to help you who aren't qualified to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God can use anybody. I'm not saying that's the case. But, you know, I put this down. You can't give what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a blessing to somebody, you better be blessed in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God gives you to give. But if you haven't got it, you can't give it.
Yeah.
And so trying to straighten other people out, when you're all messed up,
you're
asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's the truth, brothers and sisters. Damaged people do damage.
Yeah.
If they're not careful. Yeah. You hypocrites, that's Jesus' word for it. Do you know what a hypocrite is? The word comes from the Greek word, meaning as an actor. They've got a mask on. They're pretending to be something.
Yeah.
You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Step number one, get yourself sorted out first. But just to ask you, brothers and sisters, What we need to do is to ask the Lord to search us, because we can't see planks, but we can see specks. Mm-hmm. We don't see the big stuff, but we see, can see the little bits in others, of course. We need to ask the Lord, search me, O God, know my heart, and test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Yeah. We need to do that, brothers. It's actually much better if the Lord tells you than somebody else does. I find I can accept that. Pride comes up when someone tells you your faults.
Yeah.
But if the Lord points them out, you're more willing to accept that and do something about it. But anyway, search me, O God, one way or another. Get sorted out first. And just say this, this is really important caveat to say this. Being judgmental and making judgments are not the same thing. I'm trying to make the distinction. Being judgmental is looking at someone and putting them down, having a wrong attitude about them. But making judgments, you have to make choices.
Yeah.
We do, we have to make choices. Yeah. And that's making judgments, and it's not the same. Making a good choice and a bad choice are two different things there. Now, this is a really interesting little passage that Jesus gives us here. Do not give to dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. And he's just said that after he said, don't be judgmental. Yes, next sentence. Do not give to dogs what is sacred, and do not throw your pearls to pigs. How do you, this is a question, how do you know who are dogs and pigs? Are you being judgmental when you say someone's behaving like a dog or like a pig? Yes? That's a question, isn't it? You could be, but there's, how do you know when someone would be categorized as a dog or a pig in that sense? It's how they behave and the words that they use. And I've got just written there as an example. In the book of Proverbs, I do hope you read Proverbs occasionally. Well, in Proverbs, you'll see lots of sections that deal with the fool. The fool answers before he's listened. Yes, the fool opens his mouth before he should. And you can always tell a fool is really what the Proverbs is about. Essentially, I think what Jesus is getting at is you need to discern that some people just aren't willing to listen, aren't willing to take in, and they'll give you a lot of verbal abuse if you do try.
Mm-hmm.
You need to watch that. So beware of the mockers is really what Jesus is saying. Don't give to them what is sacred, what you value, what's precious to you. Be very careful how you share that.
Yeah.
That's important, yes? Jesus says we're to love our enemies, we're to pray for such people. We don't write them off, but we recognise where they're coming from. And that's important. But there's one more thing I want to say, as Jesus says further on this. If you do give your pearls to pigs, and so on, he says, if you do, they may trample them under their feet, and then turn and tear you to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses the word they there, and he's talked about dogs and pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that plural there, because you may have noticed this, but if you get a group of people together, the herd mentality can set in very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, if one's a mocker, then the rest take up the theme, in a way.
Yeah,
yeah, you've got the idea. So there's that pack. The pack of the dogs or the herd of pigs or so on. That mentality is what Jesus is getting at. Don't give good stuff to a bunch of people who are mocking you.
Mm-hmm.
And so on. But I've got this to tell you, and this is really important. It's part of loving your enemies. A person, if you get them on their own, could very well behave quite differently from when they're in a gang.
Absolutely.
Yes? Mm. And that's important to recognise that. There are times and opportunities God may give for you to talk to pigs and dogs when they might get some sense into them.
Yeah,
you've got the idea. Because they're not behaving like pigs and dogs when they're on their own, that's the point, yeah? Human beings are a funny lot, aren't we, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, strange how we can behave. But there we are, our Lord is warning us there.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's talking about getting things from God, asking. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. That's encouraging, isn't it? And when he talks about asking, it's about prayer as well, you know. That's really what he's saying. He's going to God about things. Ask and it be given to you. Seek, keep looking. How many times have you lost something and prayed about it? And you found it? I hope you do.
Yes.
Yeah, I did it just this week. Last night, in fact. Something disappeared. I knew I'd had it, but I couldn't find where it was. And I prayed. And I found it. Praise the Lord, yeah? But anyway, he's saying is do that. And I want to encourage you in this, brothers and sisters. Beware of not trying at all. Have a go. Have a go.
Mm-hmm.
And see what happens. Someone said this. You can only. It's much easier to guide a car or an aeroplane when it's moving than when it stood still.
Mm-hmm.
Get moving. Try something. Do something for the Lord, and He'll guide you. Don't just not stand there, do nothing. Yes. My uncle had a saying. He wasn't a Christian, but he was a very practical man, and he used to say this: "He who never made a mistake never made anything."
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Have a go. Our kids are brilliant on computers. How many of you oldies are scared stiff of pushing the wrong button? Why? If it blows up.
Yeah.
It blows up, but it won't blow up. Yeah. Have a go. You might be surprised at how good you become as a techno person. You never know. Anyway, Jesus is telling us, beware of not trying at all. Ask, and it will be given. There's a promise there. Seek and knock. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And one of the, you must have heard this before, one of the important things about the way this is phrased in the original language, when it says ask and seek and knock, it's not just da-da-da, knock. It's keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking, until you get an answer. Sometimes God may say no. Well, that's an answer.
Yeah.
But if he's just saying, hang on there, keep knocking. Yes? Don't give up, brothers and sisters. Don't give up. That's what he's saying. Everyone who asks receives. Keep on until the Lord answers. And he gives an illustration of asking. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Well, you might do it as a joke, but it's not a joke that Jesus is talking about here. If he asks for bread, you give him
bread.
It's obvious, isn't it? And then he uses another illustration. You may not be quite familiar with what he's talking about here. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? Can you tell the difference between a snake and a fish?
Yes.
Not if it's a sea eel. Yeah, that's a snake.
Yeah,
that thing at the bottom there is a snake. I don't know if it's poisonous, probably is, I would imagine, with the stripes on it. They always look quite gary and scary to make sure that everybody knows, don't touch me. Yeah. But anyway, if he asked for a fish, would he give him a snake? That was a thing down at the Galilee. They'd be doing that all the time. When you roped in the fish, you might find one of these guys in as well. Well, you get rid of them, of course. And then there's a comparison. If you then, though you are evil, would you say you were evil? Well, Jesus says you are. Of course, that's not including me, you know that. You don't believe that, do you? No, and neither do I. Yeah. What does he mean, though you are evil? He's not saying that you're out nasty and horrible, or, as we can be, or so on. But he's saying is our natures, our human nature, is damaged, is fallen.
Yeah.
And it's true, brothers and sisters, leave people to themselves, take away the restraints, and you'll find out what's in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not nice at times, is it? But he says, this then, you, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So there's something good in the evil person. That's what he's saying. They know how to do good to some. Their kids, of course. That's the idea. Because we still have the image of God on us. It's just got messed up, rather. We're made in the image of God. But some of that's a good sign of it. You want to give good gifts to your children. If that's what you do, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? He's really saying is, God won't shortchange you, give you stones for bread and snakes for fish. God knows how to bless you. Have you found that out? He's able to answer the phrases above and beyond. God is so generous and so good. So if you do that, how much more will your Father in heaven do for you when you ask him? And he wants to be asked, brothers and sisters. You know that, don't you? You've got to ask. That's the way God's planned it. That's the way God's made it. He wants you to ask. And as you come to ask God, how much more is the idea there, I put there, beware small thoughts of God. Somehow he's a mean, miserable miser that's holding back on you. That's not the truth. Don't think that at all. Your Heavenly Father uses that phrase, your Father, of course. Because he loves you. So, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I'm taking this in reverse order. When Jesus uses the term the law and the prophets, I hope you're aware, it's a Jewish term for the Bible. Mm-hmm. Normally, the word Tanakh that they use, is it an acronym? It's the letters stand for something. T for Torah, N for Navi, the prophets, and K for Ketuvim, which means writings. So it's the law, the prophets, and the writings. That's the sum of it, the Old Testament, yeah? But Jesus is saying is, that sums up, what I'm telling you is a way of describing what the Bible is all about. This is the guiding principle for your actions, he's really saying. As how you treat other people, this is the last thing I've got here for you. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Not do others before they do you, yeah, but do to others what you would have them do to you. And Jesus is assuming something here, and it's sad to say it's not quite true these days, it would seem. He's assuming that you would like to have nice things done to you. There are people who abuse themselves. There are people who seem to be happy being abused, dismissed and put down. That's not normal. Jesus doesn't want that for you. He says, you know, the normal is you'd like to have done to you what you do to them. And I assume it means that you'd like to do nice things. Mm-hmm. So do to others what you'd have them do to you. He says this sums up the prophets and the law, the teaching of the Bible, the Old Testament as it was in Jesus' day. Just to say in closing, when Jesus says this is the golden rule as far as it applies to the law and the prophets, he's really summing up everything that he's already said in his message, because we're getting to the end of the Sermon on the Mount now. He's going to apply it to us as individuals in the next section. But he's summing up all that he said before, and he's really saying is, you know, would you treat a woman the wrong way, you know, an adultery, or would you treat someone the wrong way by hating them and murder them? He's saying that don't do that, right? And when you get religious, do you pray for people, or are you there to use people to show how good you are? Don't do that. He's saying treat people the way you'd like to be treated. He also says, when you do that, your Father, who sees what's done in the heart, in the secret place, he rewards you. Isn't God good, eh? He rewards you for doing what you should do. Brilliant. That's my kind of God. Hope it's yours as well. Lord, we want to thank you that you set out the guidelines for a life to be well lived. Lord, for us to be blessings rather than problems in this world. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that you don't judge people, Lord, by what you see on the outside. Lord, you see their heart. And Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord, that that's the way you want us to be as well. Lord, not taking people at disadvantage because of the way they appear, the way they speak, the way they look, Lord, all these superficial things. Lord, thank you. You want to see hearts that love you. And I pray for all of us, Lord, may we get rid of the junk. Lord, give you the glory in our lives. Come into our lives. Holy Spirit, minister in us what's well pleasing in your sight. And make us a blessing, Lord, that as we treat others as we would like to be treated, they'll find that Jesus loves them too. Lord, we ask it in your wonderful name. Amen.